All right, take your Bible, if you would, and turn to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 2. And just, it is Wednesday night, we're studying about the Holy Spirit, and we have talked about all sorts of different subjects. There are a few more that I'd like to cover. Every time I think I'm about done, I think this is the 14th different Bible study that I've given you on the Holy Spirit. You'll remember when we were over on Wednesday nights in the gymnasium, and I mentioned, I was speaking about something else, and whatever I was speaking on, I said something about the Holy Spirit. I said, you know, He is so often overlooked and not mentioned and talked about. We should do a whole study on that. And so the next week I started, and here we are. It's been more than 14 weeks because we've had different guests in, and then some weeks I didn't finish the whole thing in one time. But I said all that to get to this. As I study this and as I continue to go through different aspects of it, I'm amazed at all the different things I keep finding. And so every time I think I'm done, there's one more. I thought I would end with the gifts and talents and abilities, but then I saw something else, and then I saw something else, and then I thought, well, I wrote something about this. I took a piece of paper out. Actually, the Wednesday night that I made that statement, the next day, I don't have my phone. The next day, I took a piece of paper out at my house on my desk, and I wrote down all of these things about the Holy Spirit. I say I don't have my phone, and the reason I said that was I took a picture of the piece of paper so that I could have it with me, and I wrote a list of all these things about the Holy Spirit and what He does. I just wrote a list of them, and then I started studying each one of them. Well, as I would study one, a different subject would come up that wasn't on my list, so I would add it. I think we started with 7. We're at 14. And I think I have 3 more, maybe. And counting. But sometimes that's just the way it goes. So Revelation chapter 2. And we're going to kind of jump around, which is not necessarily the way we usually do it on Wednesday night. But we're not live streaming tonight, are we? Okay, good. I can be a little more relaxed. I don't have to mind my words so much, although I actually haven't been real good at minding my words so far. After I made that crack the other day and said, are we actually on live? It was like, oh no, did I really say that? So you got to mind your P's and Q's. Christian Law Association tells preachers never to do what we are doing, and that is put your services on live stream, because you get yourself in so much trouble because some of the things we say. Some churches put it on, and you actually have to have a passcode to get in and watch it, and so you have to email the church and request it. But anyway, I'm not so paranoid that I'm worried about who's monitoring my speech and what I'm saying. And the other part of it is, I don't care. Just this is the way it is. Like it, lump it, good or bad, it just what is what it is. So tonight, all that being said, we're not going to follow a normal pattern where we have a whole text, although there'll be many texts. But I want you to see a truth here, and I think you'll get it very quickly. Chapter 2, look at verse 7. It says, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Look at verse 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Look at verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth save he that receiveth it. Look at chapter 2 and verse 29. It says, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Look at chapter 3 and verse 6. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Look at verse 13 of chapter 3. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. One more. Chapter 3, verse 22. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I'll read one more for you. Revelation chapter 13, verse 9. If any man have an ear, let him hear. Matthew chapter 11, verse 15. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Matthew chapter 13, verse 43. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Mark chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he saith unto them, Take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hath that here shall more be given. Mark chapter 7, verse 16. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Do you see a pattern? Tonight we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit and listening. The Holy Spirit and listening. The Bible has a lot to say about hearing and listening. And I think the book of Revelation proves the letters to the seven churches and the continual mention of listening to what? The Holy Spirit. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So tonight, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit and listening. The Holy Spirit and listening. I started out saying the Holy Spirit and hearing, but I don't want you to just hear. I want you to listen. There's a big difference. So my wife and King's Kids, we're not on live stream. My wife's in King's Kids. I can let loose. I hear my wife all the time. I listen, yeah, but she's still afraid of me. I listen. I hear my wife all the time. I listen very infrequently. My wife says I have selective hearing. At least I think that's what she said. I'm saying to you tonight, there's a big difference between hearing the Holy Spirit and listening to the Holy Spirit. Okay? So tonight we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit and listening. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that you bless us tonight. We thank you so much for your Holy Spirit that you gave us. Thank you that when Jesus left, he promised this Holy Spirit that would not be just with us, but would be in us. And so we pray that you would help us to recognize his work and his ministry to us, and that we might submit to it and yield to it. May we not resist the Spirit. May we not grieve the Spirit. May we not lie to the Spirit. May we not quench the Spirit, but may we listen to the Spirit of God in our lives. So bless us as we study it tonight. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17 says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." Now, the first thing I want you to understand is this. We must listen to the Holy Spirit to be saved. To be saved, you must listen to the Holy Spirit. Almost the last verse in the Bible, in Revelation chapter 22, the final call to salvation says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come." And then it says, "And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." You remember the verse in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. It says, "So then faith cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing by the word of God." Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7 says, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice." If you get saved, you got saved because you heard the Holy Spirit of God. No, I don't mean that you heard an audible voice from heaven. I mean that you felt the Holy Spirit of God speaking to your heart. The scripture was read, or you saw it or heard it, because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And the Holy Spirit took the word of God and used it as a sword to pierce your heart and convict you of your need for a Savior. You were convicted of your lost condition. You were convicted of the outcome, which was hell. And you were convicted that Christ paid the price for your sin, and you had to receive him. You were convicted of that, and you didn't just hear the conviction of his convicting voice, you listened to it. When the Spirit said, "Come," you listened and you came. So the first thing you got to understand about the Holy Spirit and listening is you must listen to the Holy Spirit to be saved. So if you're saved tonight, the good news is this. If you're saved tonight, you already have a track record of listening to the Holy Spirit. You listened to him at one point to be saved. Now, let's discuss how you need to continually listen to him as you walk the Christian walk. So, number two, not only must we listen to the Holy Spirit to be saved, we must listen to the Holy Spirit to be sure of our salvation. Take your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 8. We must listen to the Holy Spirit to be sure of our salvation. So many people doubt their salvation, and it keeps them from being successful in the Christian life. They're never on stable ground. They're always shaky, wondering whether they're saved, whether they're lost, whether they've lost their salvation, whether they didn't lose their salvation. You know, you've heard me say it, and I hate to keep beating this same dead horse, but I don't think it's a dead horse, and that's why I keep beating it. When it quits shaking, I'll quit beating it, okay? But right now, it's still wiggling a bit, okay? And that is this. When you come to this issue where people think you can lose your salvation, there's several issues with it. One is, it becomes a work. Because there's something I must do to stay saved, so salvation becomes a work. Number two, as I mentioned on Sunday morning, I think it was, we discredit the ability of the cross to forgive us of all our sin. Because we are now saying either there are particular sins or the sins of my future that I'm not forgiven of at salvation. And so we discredit those verses and the truth of eternal redemption and eternal life. The other question I have about the whole subject is, if you believe you can, and the thing about that is this, people that believe you can lose your salvation, now they have to determine what sins are bad enough to lose it. Because obviously you don't lose your salvation every time you have a wicked thought, or you'd be getting saved continually. You better get a rosary and start counting beads all the time. Okay? That's where we'd be stuck. Okay? So now you have to figure out what sin is bad enough, or what sin is bad enough. So you have to determine that. Where's that in the Bible? And then you have to determine if it's bad enough and you lose it, how do you get it back? How do you get it back? Can you crucify the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame? The book of Hebrews says, no, it's impossible. It's impossible. Can't be done. So I can tell you this. I had a guy who was coming into the high school when I was a teenager, and he was from the Assembly of God Church, and he believed you could lose your salvation, and he had a Bible study, and I wouldn't go to it. And this is after I had gotten right with God, I'd gotten saved, and you know my story. For a year I was away from God, and then when I got right with God and got on fire, everybody in the school knew about it. So they told this guy, and he would come in during our lunch period, and then right after lunch period, he had a room that they assigned him, and he would have a Bible study that was for students. If you wanted to go, you could go. And he asked me if I would go, and I said, no. He said, why not? And I said, you believe you can lose your salvation? He said, yes, I do. And I said, I don't believe that, so I won't come to your Bible study. He said, well, you should come anyway, even though we disagree on that. I said, we disagree on that, we disagree on everything. I said, but that's the core of everything is salvation, and you're making it a work. He said, oh, how's that? He said, show me some verses about that. I said, I'll show you a verse right here. I opened my Bible, and I read that text. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted in the heavenly gift. And you read on all the punctuation marks. I said, now answer me a question. For it's impossible, see the punctuation, comma. For those who are once enlightened, who's it talking about? He said, people that get saved. I said, that's right, people get saved. Have tasted of the heavenly gift. Who are those? People that get saved. And now you have all these little phrases that all describe a saved person. And I said, so read this now. It's impossible for a saved person, if they shall fall away, to renew them again into repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put them to an open shame. I'm 16. He's, I don't know, 20, 30, old guy. Back then, that's what I'm thinking. And he looked at those verses. He said, let me see that. He just kept staring at them. I said, now you told me that in between these punctuation marks, those who are once enlightened, is that somebody saved? Yeah. Tasted a heavenly gift. Somebody saved? Yeah. And he just kept looking at it. I said, so you understand this says it's impossible for somebody who was saved, if they should fall away, to renew them again. I said, I got news for you. From this text, I can't prove you can't lose it, but I can prove you can't get it back. I said, so where does that put you? He said, not in a good way. And you know what he said? I'll have to study this, and I'll get back to you. So some weeks later, he came by and gave me a paper from his church. And the paper said, 95 Bible passages teaching conditional security. That's what it said. And it just listed the verses, just the reference, didn't list the verse. I went home and somewhere I still have that in a file. I studied every one of those verses. As a matter of fact, when I became a pastor years later, I still had that piece of paper. I taught a whole series on eternal security, and I disproved every one of those verses. 95 verses disproved every single one of them. And I know it took a year, I understand, but it didn't. I just look at the looks on your faces. You're thinking, 95 verses, and he disproved every one of them. That must have taken some time. No, I would rattle off 20 in a week, because some of them were really obvious. Just read the context. Read the context. Read the context. Read the context. Most of the time, that's not what that verse is saying at all. I said all that to get to this point. You need to understand you must listen to the Holy Spirit of God to be saved, and you're going to have to listen to the Holy Spirit to be sure. Romans chapter 8, look at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That means they listened to the Holy Spirit, they heard His voice, and they got saved. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. I want you to understand that the Holy Spirit of God bears witness with your spirit. You'll notice in verse 15, it says the spirit of adoption. Now in your Bible, is that word spirit capital or small? Capital. That's the Holy Spirit, the spirit of adoption. Now in verse 16, it says the spirit, the first word spirit, capital or small? Capital. That's the Holy Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit, capital or small? Small. So the Holy Spirit of God bears witness with your spirit, Jason, that you are a child of God. He's the one that tells you you're a child of God. Now, if you're really saved, there is another spirit that works in the world. Matter of fact, He's the prince and power of the air. And He will try to speak to you also. But He won't be reassuring you that you're a child of God. He'll be telling you you're not a child of God. How could you be saved? Look at what you did. How could you be saved? Look at how you act. How could you be saved? Did you really mean it? He's going to constantly be whispering in your ear as much as He can. Here's the secret. Who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? There are a lot of voices in the world. Okay? If I ever preach that sermon on valleys. Did anybody read the blog on valleys that Micah put up? None of you? Good, so I can preach that sermon. You did? Okay. He's not in here. Is that on our Facebook? Is that our website? Our website? So on our website, there's actually a section to the website that's called a staff blog. Okay, so there's a section on our webpage. See how good I am at this. So what do you click on a tab that says staff blog or something? Okay, so maybe if you go to our webpage, fbcok.com, there should be a tab that says staff blog. But don't go to it for a couple of weeks. So he asked me if I would do, if I would give him like sermon excerpts and things from sermons I've preached or thinking about preaching. Well, the sermon about valleys that I keep talking about that I've never preached yet. Okay. So I said, yeah, I said, I'll give you something on valleys. And I gave him these points. Okay. And it starts, the text is in the 23rd Psalm. Yea, they'll walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. So I started thinking a lot about valleys. And I started thinking about things about valleys, negative things and positive things. Now, here's a negative thing about valleys. Sometimes when you get in a valley, the sound of the voice you're trying to follow is difficult to understand. You don't know if it's in front of you or behind you because of the echo. Sometimes you can't tell if it's somebody else's voice or your own voice coming back at you. In a valley, when you get in the valleys of life, sometimes it's hard to recognize the voice you're supposed to be following. And that voice is the voice of the Holy Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit of God spoke to you at salvation, and you heard that voice, and you got saved. Just like Jesus cried out to Lazarus with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth, and he responded and came forth wrapped in his grave clothes. You heard the voice of God in conviction. You trusted Christ as your Savior. You got saved. But then the devil comes in the valleys of your life, and he says, you're not really saved. And you start thinking about it. And you start thinking about it. And you start rationalizing it. And you start finding all these reasons why you're probably not saved. There is one voice you need to hear. It's not the devil's voice. It's not your own voice. You need to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit of God. Because if you're really saved, that voice is there. He's inside of you. And the Spirit Himself beareth witness. And I know it says itself. I never liked that, by the way. Because the Holy Spirit, the Greek word for Spirit is gender neutral. And so that's why it says itself instead of Himself. But if you're going to talk about Jesus, you say Himself. You talk about God the Father, you say Himself. When I talk about the Holy Spirit Himself, not itself. The Holy Spirit Himself bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. So to be sure of your salvation, you're going to have to listen to the Holy Spirit of God. Let me read you another verse. 1 John chapter 3, verse 24 says, "And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." You hear what it says? "And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." How do you know that God really saved you? By that Spirit that abides in you, the Holy Spirit of God. He bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. Listen to the right voice. Even in the valley, listen to the right voice. In the valley, you have to concentrate. When you're not in the valley, you can hear that voice. You can tell the direction from which it's coming. You can hear it plainly. And maybe it's a little simpler. But boy, you get in the valley and sound starts bouncing around. You get in the valley and things start to get confusing. And that's why you have to focus and concentrate. Whose voice is that? Is that my own voice? Is that the voice of the devil? Is it the Holy Spirit's voice? By the way, the Holy Spirit is trying to talk to every human being. He's trying to talk to lost human beings to tell them they need to be saved. And he's trying to talk to saved human beings to tell them one of many things. But the first thing is that you are saved. So if you listen to his voice, he's either going to convict you that you're lost, in which case you need to get saved, or he's going to confirm. He's going to convict the lost and confirm to the saved. That's his job. Okay? So listen to his voice. Thirdly, we must listen to the Holy Spirit to find God's special will for our lives. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now while you're turning there, let me remind you. The will of God. There is a general will of God for everybody. For instance, God is not willing. So this is going to tell us God's will. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So it's God's will for everybody to be saved. Is everybody going to be saved? No, because everybody's not going to follow the will of God. Why aren't they going to follow the will of God? Because they're not going to listen to the Spirit. They're not going to listen to the Holy Spirit's voice. If they listen, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. They get saved, but they're not going to listen. Okay? They're not going to listen to that voice. So, they're not all going to do the will of God because they're not listening to the voice. So, it's God's general will for everybody to be saved. It's God's general will for saved people to get baptized. It's God's general will for saved and baptized people to join a church. It's God's will for you to read your Bible. It's God's will for you to pray. It's God's will for you to witness. It's God's will for you to live separated. That's God's general will for all of us. Okay? But then God has a special will. And by the way, you're going to have to hear the Holy Spirit of God speak to you to convict you and confirm that conviction and leading in your life so that you will do the general will of God. But you especially got to listen closely to know God's special will. God says, look, it's God's will for Levi and me to both be saved. It's God's will for Levi and for me to both be baptized. It's God's will for Levi and for me both to join a church, read our Bible, pray, witness to others. All of those things. Him and me, same. But God has a special will for him that has nothing to do with me. And a special will for me has nothing to do with him. It's God's will for me to be the pastor of First Baptist Church in Kenmore. It's not God's will for him to be the pastor. Thank God for that. Okay? And for each person in here, God's general will is the same for every one of us. But his special will is different for every single one of us. So how can we're all here on a Sunday morning, because we're all here on Sunday morning, right? And you are, by the way. I just beating the wrong horse there, that's for sure. That is beating the dead horse. Anyway, so you're here on Sunday morning, and the Holy Spirit gives me a message, and I preach it. And there's some things in that sermon that are for absolutely everybody here, and we're going to apply them the same way. All the lost people here need to get saved the same way. Okay? All the people that are saved, like recently we've had some people get saved, the Lisa and Andrew, who live right over here, and then her sister lives right up the hill. Christina, or maybe Christine, and Miguel, they all got saved just the other week. And now they're going to follow the Lord in baptism soon. Okay? A couple weeks ago, Titus and Cheyenne, as she likes to be called,
That's her middle name, not her first name. Her first name's Hannah, but she said, could you call me Cheyenne? Sure. I'll call you Leroy if that's what you like. I mean, when she was going to get baptized, I always look at someone and say their name so I make sure I've got the right name. I know you wouldn't think I'd mess up a name, but and she said, I said, yeah, isn't your name Cheyenne? I said Hannah, right? And she said, yes, but could you call me Cheyenne? I said, today you're Cheyenne. Not a problem. Okay, you want to be baptized and called Cheyenne? I'll call you Leroy, whatever it is, doesn't matter. So I said all that to say, they got saved and then they got baptized. Okay, so I'm going to preach. If I preach and I mention something about salvation, it will apply to all the lost people the same. If you've been recently saved, not baptized, it'll apply to them the same way. Bible reading the same way. It'll apply to all of those folks the same way, and I can actually say it exactly the way you need to do it. But that's for God's general. But when it comes to God's special will, do you really think I'm going to be able to stand up here and say, now you should be a plumber, and you should be a this, and you should work, and you should do, and you, in the same sermon? No, I can't do that. How does that? So how do you sit in a sermon and figure out what God's special will is for you? Listen to the Holy Spirit of God. He will say something to you that the pastor is not saying. He may say it when the song is being sung. He may say it when the offertory is being played. He may say it when a brother or sister in Christ is speaking to you and they are telling a story or saying something, and the Holy Spirit uses that to show you something about your life that's special for you. And that's because you're listening to the Holy Spirit of God. So if you're going to know the Holy, if you're going to know God's special will for you, look, you can read the Scripture and get the general will of God, but you're not going to open that book and it's going to say, thou shalt buy the Chevy, not the Ford. All right? It's not going to say that. Thou shalt buy this house, not that house. It's not going to say that. Those special things, you're going to have to be listening to the Holy Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor, what's the next two words? Ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Now we quote that all the time talking about heaven, right? It's not a bad interpretation of it, but read on, verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. So I want you to understand, the Holy Spirit reveals some things. These are things that you haven't seen with your real eyes or heard with your physical ears. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Why did God give you the Holy Spirit? One of the reasons is that you might know the things that are freely given to you by God. Which things also we speak, not in words, which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Oh, wait a minute. There's some things that the Holy Spirit freely gives to us, and we want to actually tell other people about it, share it, teach it. And how is that possible? The Holy Ghost teaches it. And how does he do it? Comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. So while the pastor is preaching a sermon the Holy Spirit gave him, and he's talking about spiritual truth and using Scripture, spiritual weapons, the Holy Spirit compares spiritual things he's saying with spiritual things going on in your life. And by the way, if you're saved, everything going on in your life is spiritual. Everything. You see, understand, I have a physical ailment. It's spiritual as well. You understand, I have a mental problem. Yeah, I know. I just realized how funny that sounded. Okay? I'm dealing, by the way, you know, your mind can play all kinds of games on you. Okay? You know, got to understand that. But you got to understand, it's not just a physical issue. It's not just a mental issue. It's not just a financial issue. It's not just a family issue. It's a spiritual issue. All ground is holy ground to a believer. You're walking on holy ground all the time. Okay? So it's a spiritual issue. So the Holy Spirit of God is going to take spiritual truth, whether it's Scripture that's being read, preached, taught, Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. We talked about the Holy Spirit music a while ago. But I can't help but say to you, when it says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit immediately after that. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. What are you saying? I'm saying scriptural preaching and teaching, scriptural fellowship, scriptural music and singing. All of these things are spiritual things that I'm allowing to come into my life. And when I have some special need, God takes a spiritual truth and applies it to my spiritual need. And in my mind, listen to that song. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. You mean I probably shouldn't give up on this ministry you have for me, God? Oh, yeah. Here's a spiritual truth applied to a special need in my life. You understand what I'm saying? But for that to happen, I got to listen to the Holy Spirit. I can't just listen to the words of the song. Now, okay, and I know it's Wednesday night, and you keep thinking, if you think like I do, he should say that to the Sunday morning crowd. I would, but you got to understand something. There's only Sunday morning crowd. This Sunday, there was 5 first-time visitors, never been in our church before. First time they ever were in the doors of this church. And there were 12 other visitors, people that had been here before. Okay, and there's some people that are visitors I don't even count like visitors anymore. You know, okay, like Brenda, she's not a visitor anymore. She's just like a member who hasn't joined for me yet, okay? But there's people like that that have been visiting a lot, and they're members of the church. As far as I'm concerned, they're a member of the church. And it's just the way I feel, okay? So those people, okay, their set of needs is so much different from this truth to teach, okay? So you can have this need met as you listen to a spiritual truth, and the Holy Spirit compares it to another spiritual thing. But I said that to get to this, and that was to say that that's why it irks me so much when we're singing songs and people are talking. You can't hear the Holy Spirit when you're flapping your gums. Okay? And we're singing, you know, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. And you have a spiritual need that the Holy Spirit, a special need, that the Holy Spirit could apply this spiritual truth. He could compare something spiritual with something spiritual going on in your life. Your brain and your spirit would compare them if you're really saved. But you didn't get it. You know why? You weren't listening. You were listening to someone talk about, you know, golfing. You were listening to someone talk about buying tires. You listened to someone talk about painting walls. You listened to someone, you know. Okay? It's part of our worship. Shut your mouth. You say, well, I don't like to sing because I don't sing. Sing softly and tenderly. Jesus is calling. Sing. Okay? Listen to the song. Listen to the song. Do you know, a lot of classical music actually has, a lot of old classical music actually has some words to it. Okay, but there's a lot of classical music that doesn't have words to it. But can I tell you something? Most of the old-time classical writers were writing even just music to praise God with music, even though there was no words for it. Okay, and I'm not a classical, I like classical music. After I listen to it for 15 minutes, it sounds all the same to me. Okay, I hate to, you know, throw stones at you country western people, but I will. Same thing with country western music for me. After a while, it all sounds the same. Okay, it's the same kind of a sound. One sounds, you know, beautiful and melodious, and the other one sounds twang, twang, twang. You know, it all runs together in my mind after a while. But I said all that to get to this. The music can minister to me. It can calm me down, quiet my spirit, like when David played on the harp for Saul. Can calm me down, quiet my spirit, and let me be able to hear the Holy Spirit speaking to me, even though I don't know the words. See, sometimes they play. Now, 99.999% of the time, every song sung, played, hummed, whistled around here, I know. And I relive the song. When she's playing the offertory, I'm singing a song in my head. Okay? When they sing the specials, I'm singing a song in my head. Well, except for when those 4 guys sang Sunday afternoon. Then, no, they did a good job. I just thought I'd get a reaction out of you. I got nothing, okay? More people go on Facebook to watch them sing than to hear me preach. I just want you to know that. So I told Micah, when I look at the numbers for the Facebook hits, we need to have those guys sing every week so that I can get more people to stay on and listen to the sermon. But anyway, all that being said, you got to understand, the Holy Spirit's trying to talk to you. Say, God, I had this problem and I kept asking you about it and you wouldn't answer me. I tried to talk to you, but during the psalm service, you weren't listening. God, I had this need and I've been begging you for an answer. I tried to talk to you during the special, but you weren't listening. God, I had this need and I was asking you about it. And you never answered me. I tried to answer you during the offertory. I was trying to talk to you during the offertory, but you were... And you didn't hear it. What are you saying? I'm saying he's trying to talk to you. Okay? You know, they used to say in kindergarten, zip, lock, throw away the key, put on your listening ears. Listen to what he's saying. The Holy Spirit of God. You must listen to the Holy Spirit of God if you're going to be saved. You must listen to the Holy Spirit of God if you're going to be sure that you're saved. You must listen to the Holy Spirit of God to find God's special will for you. Now, let me say one more thing before I leave this. And I'm only on like point 3 and there's 8. But I'm going to get there in a hurry in the last 12 minutes. Okay, I am. I'm going to go really fast because I don't want to do this again next week. I got something else I want to do next week. It's about the Holy Spirit and giving, I think. But anyway, I really want to get there. But anyway, you say, but listen, I'm listening. I'm reading the scriptures and listening. I'm praying and listening. I'm going to church, I'm listening. I'm not talking. I'm singing the songs. I'm listening to the offertories. I'm listening to the specials. I'm really listening. I have this big need and God's not answering me. Maybe he's not telling you right now because the answer is wait. Wait. Sometimes you come to a light and it's green. Sometimes you come to a light and it's yellow. Caution. Slow down. Caution. Sometimes you come and it's red. Stop and wait. Until I give you the green light. If he's not talking and you're really listening, then his answer is not time. The timing is not right for the answer. The timing's not right. You're just going to have to wait. Be still and know that I'm God. So the Holy Spirit of God speaks to us. We must listen to him to be saved. We must listen to the Holy Spirit to be sure. We must listen to him to know his special will. Number 4, we're halfway home. We must listen to the Holy Spirit to interpret the scriptures for us. Let me read this for you instead of having you turn. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 23 says, "Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you." He's going to pour out his spirit and make known his words. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 21, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." You must listen to the Holy Spirit so that you can properly interpret scripture. Now, we interpret Scripture by Scripture. We also interpret Scripture by the Holy Spirit as well. Okay? So, if it doesn't add up with other Scriptures, and your interpretation doesn't add up with the other Scriptures, it wasn't the Spirit of God who gave you that interpretation. There may have been a Spirit that gave it to you, but it wasn't the Holy Spirit. Okay? It was either your Spirit or the Spirit of the devil. But it wasn't the Holy Spirit. Okay? Because he will never violate his own words. And by the way, he knows the whole book because he wrote it. He knows the book. He gave it. Okay? So, you got to understand, you must listen to the Holy Spirit to appropriately, rightly divide the word of truth. Number 5, we must listen to the Holy Spirit to apply sermons. To apply sermons, we must listen to the Holy Spirit. Now, you turn to Hebrews chapter 5. While you're turning there, let me read some other passages that you won't have time to turn to. John chapter 6 verse 63 says, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth." We know that means to make alive or give life. "The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Jesus said the Spirit makes these things alive. He said the flesh profits nothing, but the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. Jesus preached sermons while he was here. Sermon on the Mount, for instance. Okay, you got to understand that you must listen to the Holy Spirit so that you can apply a sermon when it's being preached. Why is it sometimes sermons are preached and there's no application for me? You're not listening to the Holy Spirit. You may be listening to your own spirit. You may be listening to the words of the flesh of a man. But you're not listening to the Holy Spirit. I got news for you. Sometimes I've heard people preach and say very little that had scriptural truth in it, and people get real excited about it because they were in the flesh a good orator, a good speaker. And they got all excited about that. Okay? And then I've heard people that weren't such good orators, but boy, they had the truth there and they had it right. And I could sense the Holy Spirit there. And you know what I watch? I watch the difference in the invitation. So the guy that preached something that wasn't even necessarily scripturally accurate, but had this wonderful delivery and went into some weird rabbit trail and didn't even use the scripture correctly in a lot of ways, gives an invitation and all these people come forward. And then the guy got up there that wasn't as good an orator maybe, but boy, he had it right down the line. And I could sense the Holy Spirit's truth there, and nobody came forward. What did that tell me? It told me the Holy Spirit was not being listened to. They were listening to the flesh and not the Spirit. Look, I've done this a long time, and I appreciate it when you appreciate sermons. I do. Don't take this wrong. Because I do. A couple weeks ago, maybe it was the last Sunday, I don't remember, several people said, boy, that sermon really spoke to me. I really appreciate that preacher. That's encouraging. I appreciate that. But can I tell you something? I know when I've done the right thing and the Holy Spirit was in complete control, and I know when it's been more too much of me and not enough of Him. I know that. I am my biggest critic. I not only hear myself when it while I'm preaching, but I listen to my sermons quite often, especially now that they're all on Facebook or wherever it is. I listen to Sunday's sermon. Actually, every sermon that has been put out there that we have videoed and put on the thing, I've listened to all of them from beginning to end. And like Sundays, I listened to a couple times because it was something I was pushing the little thing back and listening to that section again and again and again to hear what I said and how I said it. I try to get better at my craft, no doubt about that. But I got news for you. It's got to be about the Holy Spirit of God, both for me and for you. I've said this before, but I don't think people get it. When an invitation is given, there's several reasons why people should come forward. Number one, they should come forward because the Holy Spirit of God is convicting them of something that they need to quit doing. And they need to come and confess it and quit. Number two, the Holy Spirit is convicting them about something they aren't doing that they need to do. And they need to come and yield to it and start doing it. Number three, they need to come because they're being convicted or being shown some way that they're supposed to go, a new direction, a new path, a new ministry, something they're supposed to do. And they need to come and confirm that. Yes, God, I hear your voice and I am willing to obey. Number four, they needed to come to pray for somebody else who God laid on their heart while the preaching was going on that needed something that they can do. I need to witness to my friend. I need to take food across the street to this guy. I need to do something for this person. I'm convicted about that. In this sermon, the Holy Spirit spoke to me about that. I'm going to come and say, yes, God, I heard you. I'm confirming to God I heard it. And the last reason, was that four, I think? So number five. The fifth reason is God didn't speak to you at all. And you need to come forward and ask God why. Why didn't I hear you? Why didn't you talk to me today? Why didn't I hear you? Now, listen, I don't get bonus money for how many people come to the altar. Right? We have two deacons here. I don't get bonus. Do I get bonuses for that? Is this like football where if I make so many yards, I don't get bonuses for how many people get baptized. I don't get a bonus for how many people walking out. I don't get paid any bonuses for that. But I would trade every dime of any paycheck to see God do something in everybody's life. Anytime. Now, I've been in services where an invitation was given. Some of them I've preached. Some of them other people have preached. And every single person was. And they can't all get to an altar. Everybody responded to an invitation. I've seen that. But most of the time, and it's not just you. I'm not just picking on you. Well, I am, because you're the only one here. But yeah, technically. But invitations are given 1, 2, 3 people. And you think, really? Really? Oh, well, I just can make a decision in my seat. Yeah, you can. And you know what? You could buy a car in your seat, too. See if that works. Oh, you mean the banker actually wants you to show up and sign some paper to show your commitment? You can get married sitting out there, too. But I don't know anybody who ever has. Why? Because we want to see your commitment to saying, yes, I will. Yes, I do. You could get a job interview sitting in the pew. But try it. See if it works. No. You got to show up. You got to show up. We'll show up for the almighty dollar. We'll show up to get a house. We'll show up to get a hamburger. We'll show up to make a commitment to get married, but we won't show up to make commitments to God. And that's why our churches are in the shape they're in. Right there. Because we don't want to respond to the voice of God. When God walked in the garden, he expected Adam to come to him. He knew where Adam was. He didn't go to where he was, hiding in the trees. The trees God gave him as a blessing, now he hid behind. The thing God gave him became the very thing that he used to hide behind. I say that to you because, can I tell you something? I know people that have prayed for a spouse, girls that have prayed for a man, men that have prayed for a woman, and then God gave them the spouse and they went away from God. And they hid behind the very blessing God intended to give them, to be a blessing and help to them. They hid behind it as an excuse not to walk with God. They missed it. And that's, but by the way, it goes all the way back to what Adam did. He hid behind the trees. He hid behind the trees. That's no other sermon. I'm going to preach it one day. Don't hide behind the trees. But another way. Read it in a blog. It'll come out soon. God said, "Where art thou?" He said, "Why aren't you here where I am?" He wanted Adam to come out from where he was and come to where he was. He wanted to make a statement. See, we're always concerned about us. But we're not concerned about God. I wanted to get married bad enough. I drove to Denver, Colorado. I wanted to get buried bad enough. I went into a strange church I'd never been in. Walked a giant place, whole bottom floor filled. Never had met the pastor before. Never had been there before. Showed up the day of my wedding. It's a long story, but got there. And they had it was a giant place, several thousand people. The whole bottom floor was filled. I have never been at a wedding. And of the 113 weddings or so that I've done, none of those had one-tenth of these people. Her mother worked for the church, was a janitor at the church, and drove bus for the Christian school, and her full-time job was for the church. So everybody from the church came. Balcony wasn't full, but the whole bottom floor was packed. And above their baptistry, they had like a room up there and had glass, like one-way glass. And the pastor took me up there, and while the whole preliminaries were going on, we were standing there watching the guys come down and light the candles, and I missed the rehearsal. I'm watching it. And I'm looking at all those people thinking, wow, there's a lot of people here. And I got to tell you something. I've mentioned it before. The first time I kissed my wife was when the preacher said, "You may kiss your bride." First time I ever kissed my wife. So I'm standing up there, and I'm thinking, a lot of people here. The first time I'm going to kiss her, there's like, 500-600 people here. 700, I don't know. The whole bottom floor is full. I'm thinking, man, if there's only like 5 or 6, I'd get it. But they're everywhere. And I'm getting nervous. I'd never met her father. Never met him. I talked to him on the phone. I'd never met her dad. Her mother and father divorced when she was very young. And I had never met the man. Never met her one brother. Never met her half-sister. I'd met her mother and her baby brother that was still living at home. But I never met these people. And I didn't see them before the wedding. First time I'm going to see them? First time I saw my father-in-law was when he walked in the door with a bride on his arm. First time I shook his hand was after the service in the lobby. By the way, we became just really good buddies. I wanted to win that man of the Lord so badly. Witnessed him hours and hours. And I loved him. And he loved me. But he never would get saved. Unless he got saved while he was in a coma and my wife was witnessing to him in the hospital. But anyway, I was scared. And the thought crossed my mind. Exit stage. Remember Linus, the snaggletooth lion or whatever his name was? Exit stage right. Thought crossed my mind. And the truth was, I thought, boy, there's so many people that will kill me. I will never be able to show my face anywhere again. But I was really scared. But you know what? Bottom line was this. I knew it was the will of God. And because I knew it was the will of God, I had to stand in front of all those people and say my vows. Well, I wasn't worried about the vows. I was really worried about that kiss. And kiss her for the first time. I mean, as if I didn't know if our lips would work, you know. I don't know. And by the way, I got to finish the story. And so when they put, when he pronounced this man and wife, we started walking out. They had a center aisle. Started walking out that center aisle. All the way down the aisle, she's saying, kiss me again, kiss me again. And I'm saying, no, wait till the lobby. Wait till we get to the lobby. No, kiss me again, kiss me again. And it was, I was so embarrassed, I turned red. And she said, I've never seen you blush. Because I just don't get embarrassed. I was, boy, I was embarrassed then. Said all that to say this. You listen to the Holy Spirit of God during sermons. And he will speak to you. Some of those things will be about the general will of God. Some of those things will be about the special will of God. Some of those things will be conviction about stuff you're doing you need to stop. Some of those things will be about things you're not doing you need to start. Some of those will be about things, different direction or guidance, something in your life that needs to begin, ministry or something like that. Something will be about maybe some other person. And then if you don't hear his voice, man, I'd rush to the altar and say, God, why didn't you talk to me? What is wrong? Why can't I hear your voice? What is wrong? Number six and quick. We must listen to the Holy Spirit to serve God. You know what? I'm going to stop. Because I got three things left, six, seven, and eight. I will give them to you, but then I'm going to come back. I'm going to write a note. You must listen to the Holy Spirit to serve God. You must listen to the Holy Spirit to make proper supplication or prayer. And you must listen to the Holy Spirit to separate from the world. It's actually a page and a half of notes, and I don't want to lose them. So we'll end by saying this. You start off your life spiritually by listening to the Holy Spirit to get saved. And then you continue. You continue listening. It's the same voice. It's the same voice. He may be speaking differently. You may be understanding a little bit more, but he's going to continue to speak. He's going to give you assurance. You must listen to that voice to find his special will. You must listen to that voice so that you can properly interpret Scripture. You must listen to that voice so you can apply sermons to your life. Because here's the thing about a sermon. If it's not applied, it's not any good. Okay? The balm of Gilead is of no use unless it is applied to the wounded spirit of a man. It must be applied. It must be applied. So let's turn on our spiritual listening ears and listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit of God. Do you know what happens when you listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit? You get holy. And you know what happens when you don't listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit? You get unholy. All right? So let's decide to quit listening to all the other voices. Okay? Movie stars say what they want to say. I mean, really? Are you interested in what they have to say? Okay? Politicians say what they want to say. Not too interested in that myself. There's all these voices. And I think, yappa, 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 yappa. But there's one voice I want to hear. One voice I really want to hear. You know, when we were in college, we were going to college with a couple thousand people, almost 3,000, a little over 3,000 people. And you'd get into the chapel time, and chapel always started late for some reason, I don't know why. But you're in there for like 15, 20 minutes, and chapel's not starting, and the music's all playing up here, and people are talking, and the people are coming in, and there's all this noise going around. You know who I'm sitting by? The one I love. With all that noise, you know whose voice I could hear? Kendra's. Because I'm listening intently to the voice. Someone said to me, I tried to get your attention in chapel. I was hollering and waving at you. All you could do is stare at your girlfriend. You think? Can I tell you something? All the noise is going on around you. Listen to the voice of the one you love. Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit of God. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. Thanks for being here tonight. Invite someone to come on Sunday, and we're going to have a great day. My daughter, my oldest daughter, Jessica, is here with her three kids. She just came in. She hasn't been to my house yet. She drove from my daughter's house in Chicago to here. And this is Shelley. She's from the Church of Minnesota. Midwest Bible Baptist Church, and she drove them here, and she's there coming for a visit for a while. And so make sure you welcome them, and you'll see their kids. Her kids and the cousins, Joey's kids, are thick as thieves already, and it'll be an exciting time at our house. If you're looking for me, I'll be in a tent in the backyard. So get to meet them. Thanks for being here tonight. Father, I pray that you'd help all of us to be sensitive, not only to the leading of the Holy Spirit, but the voice of the Holy Spirit. May we listen to that still, small voice so that we could apply the things that he's trying to say to our lives and yield to them so that we could be more like thee and find the way that you'd like for us to live in this wicked world. Now keep us safe as we go our separate ways. Help us to be witness and testimony throughout our neighborhoods and places of work. And may we come back together on Sunday with an ear ready to hear what the Spirit has for us and a friend beside us. And we'll thank you for that in Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. Dismissed.